The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
The reality of Pentecost happened. Remember, every time we pray the glorious mystery. What is there? Third glorious mystery is what? The descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. And by Christ sending the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity of the one God, the main purpose of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is what? To make sure, to intensify, maintain, teach everything that Christ revealed and taught and gave. So the purpose of the Spirit, is it to contradict Christ? No, of course not. The purpose of the Spirit is to support, to help the church grow and help the members of the one church of Christ be faithful to Christ and, of course, become like Christ. So the Spirit has always been there. It's not unique. It's always part of our teaching. I think it was in the 70s or 60s, I do not know really, when the charismatic renewal happened in the Catholic Church. I don't know here, 70s, late 60s. In the Philippines, we had that, the Catholic charismatic renewal, wherein it stressed on the existence of the Spirit. You are slain by the Spirit. You speak in tongues. So in this charismatic renewal, it stressed on seemingly telling Catholics that we never experienced or we kind of diminished the existence of the Spirit. Of course, the charismatic renewal, sad to say, sometimes can be too extreme, to the point of only experiencing faith through emotions, as if you have to be, either crying or laughing or dancing, as if you cannot just sit down and experience the peace, the solemnity of the presence of God inside the silence of your heart. Of course, we know that we can experience Christ with the help of the Spirit in a very quiet way. But again, the purpose of the Spirit is unity. So if somebody, for example, all of a sudden, during this charismatic thingy that we experienced, spoke in tongues, because that is what happens sometimes. Oh, I was speaking in tongues. But again, I asked them, what does it mean? Because the purpose of the Spirit is to teach, to share, to reveal Christ. If nobody understood what you're saying, then what you are saying was just blabbering. Or sometimes you feel privileged that you were speaking in tongues. Sometimes it happened, many times it happened, when they were trying to experience the Spirit during a charismatic renewal, and all of a sudden, stuff, and nobody understood it. After that, I said, shut up. Because you are just trying to think that somehow you're privileged over the rest, because as if you have something that the rest didn't have. But the purpose always of the Spirit is to make sure that Christ shines. No? What happened? In some of our Christian denominations, the Spirit of the Lord told me to say this to you. Danger sign. When somebody uses that, danger sign. Because it can be what? Subjective. It can be manipulated. It can even be by the devil. Remember? How many times you've heard in the media, the Spirit of the Lord told me to tell you to buy me a plane. Or the Spirit of the Lord told me to let's build a big church. Danger. Because do you think the Spirit will tell you? Huh? No, the Spirit will not tell anybody or the preacher to build or to buy a big plane for his evangelization. No. Look what happened to Christ. He walked simple, humble, obedient. Not this arrogant type of preaching that we see in television, wherein it's more about money. No? So ask yourself, do I have the Spirit? What do you answer? Yes, of course. All of us here, we have the Spirit already. When? When you and I were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When we receive God's forgiveness, you receive the Holy Spirit. I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Always we have the Spirit every time we make the sign of the cross. Every time we pray, the Spirit is always there. The question now is, are we on the same page as far as what? Being faithful to Jesus. So the Spirit should help us become more like Jesus. That is the gauge of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, as I told you, will give us the strength, the guidance, the enlightenment to see where we are now in our relationship with Jesus. In the first reading, we hear about what? The apostles preaching, and all of a sudden, people from different cultures, from different countries, of different languages, were able to hear the Word of God in their own language. Remember the Tower of Babel? Anybody here knows that? Yes? Wherein, in that sense, they had one language, but in their one language, instead of being one for and with God, they became one against God, one thing to be equal to God. In the first reading, it talks about now being one. The Spirit of God reaching out to them, being attaching their hearts to their language, so that they become one in listening about Jesus and becoming followers of Jesus. And hopefully all of us here are one in our desire to serve and obey Jesus. But is that the reality? Look at the Christian denominations. Look at us, one Church of Christ. We are so divided. Ask any Christian denomination. They have to say that there is only one church. They cannot say that there are many churches. Because just as there was only one people of God, the people of Israel, with different tribes, there is only one church, one body, one church, one Lord. So there can be no other churches. There is only one church. Whether they like it or not, there is only one church. Now, of course, what is happening is that they don't believe that the Catholic Church is the Church of Christ. They would say now that they are the Church of Christ. Again, that's sad. Because what happens is now depends on the individual preachers as to, oh, the Holy Spirit will touch me and told me to do this. That's the problem. Unlike in the Catholic Church, hopefully all of us priests are united in telling you what must be told with regards to morality, with regards to the teachings of the church. We are not confused. And you know, you will know, if a priest will teach you something wrong. For example, when a priest tells you that abortion is good, obviously, the Catholic Church will never say that. So you know that the Catholic Church stands for what? For life. You know that it is against what the church stands for. But again, even that, even something as obvious as life, do you think all Christian churches are pro-life? Huh? No. See, that's the thing. That's the sad part. I can understand some Christian churches not having the seven sacraments because they are new and very limited in their understanding. But something as obvious as life, we cannot even be united. How can that be? Huh? So that's why, let's face it, the Church of Christ, the one Church of Christ, is broken and divided. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we fall. Yes, we are selfish. Yes, we go against the will of God, but at least we should know what the truth is. Something, because we are weak, human weakness, even though we know the truth, yes, we fall. That's okay. That's part of life. Everybody falls. Everybody sins. Everybody makes mistakes. And that is why we depend on God's mercy, because we are weak. But for anybody to deny morality, to deny sin, to deny and ask for God's forgiveness, why are we Christians if we don't accept our own sinfulness? So when we come here as celebration of Pentecost, we come here with sincerity and openness of hearts. Meaning what? Lord, here I am a sinner. Here I am no better than anybody. Here I am asking for your love, your patience, your kindness. Help me with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to strengthen my love for you, help me to love you more and more. Help me to become more like you. That is how we approach Jesus. Not the arrogant Pharisee, wherein it said while he was praying, oh Lord, I am not like those people. I am not like that person there. I am better. I go to church every day. I do this, I do that. I am better than the rest. No, you're not. That's why be careful, no? We are in the Spirit, not in the flesh. In the Spirit means you are one with the Spirit in truth, in humility. Because in the flesh, when you live in the flesh, what do? We pretend. What do? We cover our insecurities. What do? We judge other people so that people will not judge us. That's why people who gossip, they are not living in the Spirit. What do you think? Huh? For those who gossip here, you are not living in the Spirit if you prefer to judge people if you waste your time looking at other people's mistakes rather than your own. No, you are not living in the Spirit. You're living a lie because you are pretending that you have the right to judge anybody and everybody except yourself. So my dear friends, please, to celebrate Pentecost is to be one with the Spirit, to be one with Jesus. And let's face it, all of us are still lacking in following Jesus. Yes, we say He is Lord. Yes, we say He is our Savior, but we still struggle. Should I live in the Spirit constantly, intensely, 24/7, or do I find myself living in the flesh? Again, all of us are sinners, and that is why it is important that we acknowledge this and we constantly ask for the Spirit to guide us, enlighten us, help us, so that eventually we will become truly one with Jesus in His heavenly kingdom.